Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Borja Kwan, the founder, co-founder of 415 Digital. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you for having me.
We have a very interesting topic today and one that I haven't really talked about yet. So this is a great topic. But before we get to that, let us learn a little bit about you and leadership and your leadership journey.
Yeah. So I started my career in digital advertising at a young age, at the age of 21.
Wow.
Yeah, just sort of by chance, not by design. I actually was interested in becoming part of the hospitality industry. So I had worked abroad at the Ritz in Spain and Madrid, and I did a comprehensive internship program there. So hospitality was something that I was always interested in. I had worked summer jobs in high school at hotels where I grew up, and so kind of just took a liking to that. So when I graduated, I ended up deciding to maybe change my direction in terms of what I wanted to do, connected with a recruiter, and that recruiter came to me with an opportunity to work for a startup or to interview for a startup based in Boston, Massachusetts. And I ended up joining that company as an early employee, number 29, and left 8 years later.
Oh, wow.
And they were many thousand employees. So that there's a lot of detail in between, but it was really through that experience where I learned a lot about leadership, because I was surrounded by a lot of excellent leaders, ended up working for people that I felt were very strong leaders. And so through those experiences, those interactions, both good and bad, I learned a lot.
Yes, there's always the good and the bad. I mean, we do see both for sure. I've seen both in my career as well. And our topic today is about those scaling businesses, or when businesses are really growing. And that speaks to your experience being number 29 to leaving when there's thousands of people. So you certainly have a lot of experience around that. So is that why the topic of leadership and scaling businesses or those startups really resonates with you, or are there other reasons behind that?
I think, yes, that is one of the reasons. I think the reason the topic resonates with me so much in general is because I think in order to have a successful business in any category, whether you're running a pizza shop or a digital marketing agency, you really need to have strong leadership. That is one of those things that I think is unavoidable if your goal is to be successful in business. So
agreed.
I think it's just a skill that one needs to acquire, develop, improve over time, because without good leadership, I don't think it's possible to scale a business. And so I think they're directly correlated. And because I have a business, I recognize the importance of that, but also really recognized it at a early age, being more of an observer as an individual contributor at a company, where I recognized that, wow, why is this company operating so well? Why are they growing? Why are they hitting these milestones? Why have they been able to survive a down economy? And a lot of it really kind of went back to, I mean, strong financial health was obviously important, but also the fact that they had excellent leadership to get through those turbulent times, to make sure that the team felt comfortable, felt that the company would survive, that there was a plan in place, that they felt that they were heard, things like that. So all of those things were what I experienced when I was an employee, that I then was able to sort of sort of all of that experience allowed me to develop some of those skills so that when I had a business, I could use those skills as part of my leadership style.
And very effective and key skills that people need, because you mentioned the financial health of a company, but the financial health of a company only comes when your employees feel valued and heard and share ideas and innovations, and especially in a growing or scaling or even brand new startup. You have to have great leadership there in order to build the team to move everything forward, right? And clearly, you've been there because the company you work for went skyrocketed over the 8 years, I believe it was, that you said you were there. What are your thoughts around, the team that helps build and scale when the leaders need to pay attention to that? So as a leader, people who are listening who are in those scaling, growing, or startups right now, what can they do for the team to keep them motivated and moving forward? Because it can be stressful too, I imagine.
Yeah, it is. And it's never a perfect straight line.
Wouldn't that
Leadership,
be easy?
if it were
Right?
easy, everybody would do it. It's intended to be a series of ups and downs, right? So leadership for me even has been something that has evolved over time. What I mean by that is I think when you're a leader, I think you learn along the way and you make adjustments, right?
For sure.
And you make adjustments because you're observing things maybe differently. Maybe the state of the economy is different. Maybe the hiring market is different. Maybe the competition is different. I mean, there's so many factors that come into play that might have you reconsider things that you did previously in leadership positions that maybe one has to evolve. They have to change course. They have to make decisions differently. So I think it is one of those things for me that has been a lesson, a constant lesson. Even today, I'm evolving as a leader. I don't consider myself to be perfect at what I do. I think for me, no different than anybody that I employ, I want them to be a constant student, right? Someone that is challenging themselves, someone that is growing, have an open mind to change, right? And so I, as a leader, have to sort of evaluate my own leadership style and say, where have I done well? But more importantly, what are the areas as a leader that I could improve upon, right? That have maybe failed me in some areas. So yeah, I think it is for me, a lot of employees are going through difficult times. Their jobs are demanding. The clients, we're in a professional services business, so a lot of the demands placed upon us by our clients are not always very easy, right? And that's okay. That's the business we're in. We're expected to deliver on results, and the expectations are high. And I know our team absorbs a lot of that, the folks on the front line. So for me, it's really important to, number one, understand the work that they do so that I can speak to it from a position of experience. So a lot of what my team does, for me, what benefits me is I came from that place, so I can relate, right? I did a similar, if not exact, job. So when they have these challenges, I want to listen to them and understand the challenges and how it affects them individually. But I can speak from experience, having been through that. Even if I did this 20 years ago, account management is account management, right? We're dealing with humans and problems, and it's very relatable to me. So I think when you can relate to someone, obviously you need to listen and understand what those challenges are. That helps a lot. But then also, giving them some options on how they can cope with those challenges and stress, right? What has worked for me as techniques that I've implemented in that role that might help them get through what is a temporary difficult time.
You hit on a few key things I want to come back to. One of the things that you alluded to was seeing your failures, your problems as ways to grow, and I think that's fantastic. I love when people take mistakes or perceive failures. They look at them, they learn from them, and they grow because of them, because that's so important. We still need to move forward. So if we made a mistake, why not learn from it, right? And I like that you encourage the team to do the same thing. I think that's really important. It's not just about the leaders growing, which I'm 100% with you on that one. We have to continually develop our skills, but to do it for the team as well, because it only helps the company scale and grow when our team's also able to develop, which can be time, difficult during tough times or tight times when you're super busy. I also wanted to talk about how you say listen. And one of my favorite leadership topics is communication and listening, right? And I think it's so important that you brought that up. So let help our audience understand, if we need to listen to our employees and those, you're growing fast, things are moving very fast paced, or you're in that startup and everything's just going insane, how we can make sure we are listening without putting in all these other ideas in our head, because we're moving so fast. So how do we slow down so we can listen? It's basically, the question.
Yeah, well, I think it's recognizing your employees or your team are the most important thing in business. Employees over clients, which is something I didn't know as a leader when I started this business that I consider one of my mistakes or failures was I was prioritizing customers over employees because as a new business owner, I brought in a customer and I was just over obsessive over making them happy, right? Wow, I got my first customer, I got my second customer. I want to retain them. I want to over deliver. I want to do a good job. I want to be available 24/7. But that had implications to the team that was delivering the service. And I had good intentions, but what I failed to realize is that it caused a lot of burnout with my team. And then I finally recognized that I had been prioritizing the customer over the employee. And while the customer is certainly important, it can't come at the cost of my employees' happiness. And so I didn't answer your question, by the way, but it was something that I realized was a failure on my part as a leader that I then acknowledged in front of all the team. And I said, this is something that I made a mistake on. And in hindsight, I regret it, and let me explain why I did this, what my intentions were, which I think were good, but the execution was bad because I basically ended up overworking you, right? And so it was important for them to know that I was willing to acknowledge a mistake I made as a leader, and that I was not, it was not an ego thing. I just said, I'm sorry. And now going forward, I have a new point of view on this, which is it's one of our sort of values, core values, right? Employee over customers, and then they understand what that means. And then listening, I think, comes from a place of recognizing that your team is your greatest asset, right? And if you make them a priority and you take time to listen to them, right, periodically on a recurring schedule, check-ins, really just spending time, really getting to know them, understanding what projects they're working on, and really like just having a good pulse on people, and how their work is going is really important. Right. And so we prioritize the people side of the business. And because of that, we find it a requirement to make time in our schedule to spend time with the team. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think in scaling or, startups or those growth places, if we need to take care of our people so they produce what the customers want, because if our people are happy, if they're balanced, things like that, not burnt out, then it naturally feeds to the customer and the customer is happy because they get what they need when they need it with happy reps on the phone. There's no, yelling, screaming, whatever that might be in another organization. So I like that you bring that the employee is important because it truly is. I mean, there are innovation, there are ideas, there are the people who might be talking to the customer. they need to be taken care of in some way. And you say valued, respected, and heard. And those are really, really important points. So thank you for bringing that up.
And I will
Oh,
say to that, just
go ahead.
because you and I probably experience this, when I patronize a business, whether it's a hotel or restaurant, really any industry, retail store, I did this. I had this experience with at Alo. I had this experience with one of the recent hotels that we stayed at. And I would say to my wife, I'd say, to me, it's very clear that these employees are treated well. And the reason I know that is because of the way they work together and the way that they treat me as a customer.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah.
There's a direct correlation with their treatment by their employer and how they deliver that service. It's just true. I've seen it across the board with businesses that I'm a customer with, and it makes all the difference in the world. So I'm just saying exactly what you said, which if you do that, your customers will benefit because they will feel that from your team. They will feel that your team actually cares deeply, that they know their work is meaningful and impactful, and they will deliver that type of experience to the customer. But if I don't do that, they're not going to feel good. They're not going to exude that to the customer. So it really benefits nobody.
Yeah, exactly. Are there any strategies that you can provide people who are scaling during those startups or like super growth is happening? And everybody's burnt out and the leaders are frustrated with all their to-dos, but we need to stay focused. So in some cases, clearly there's going to be a lot of frustration, deadlines, and so people are really heated or they're really like, I can't do much more. Stop coming to me and asking me questions, whatever that looks like. What strategies could you provide to the leaders listening in those cases so that they can be calmer, work with the employees, continue to value and listen to the employees? Are there some strategies that you have for them?
One thing that we have in place as a recurring meeting is an all hands every month, where the team knows that during that hour that we spend together, we will be presenting to them updates that pertain to the company. So performance, how's the company doing in terms of the metrics that we care about? How is the sales pipeline? What are some existing customer success stories that we want to share? Operational updates, fun events that we're planning on hosting, things like that. But then it becomes a we want them to come to these meetings with content, right? We want to present and we want them to sit down and absorb information that we're sharing with them that they're not privy to on a regular basis. But also we want them to come with content, right? Or questions, right? What's top of mind? And we'll give you the opportunity for those that are not comfortable to submit those questions anonymously. I never care about how the information comes. I just care that it comes. It doesn't have to be direct from the individual, although I would prefer people be at a point where they can have that type of candor and just speak openly without feeling like they will be penalized, because I feel like any question is fair. I may not agree with you, but any question is fair to ask me. But if someone is not comfortable, then we want to make it so that they have a way to ask questions without having to have their name attached to the question. So we have these recurring monthly meetings. We also have office hours that we host
I like that.
three times a week, where that is really we start with what's on people's mind. What are things that are on your mind that relate to work? Anything is fair. And if nobody comes with questions, then we always have a topic that we're ready to talk about. Could be communication or soft skills or hard skills related that we talk about for 20 minutes together. And then we have also like Slack channels where people can, add, what one of our Slack channels is what made your week. And people will every, week, everybody's adding something in there. I just went to on a trip and I added some photos or, baby picture, or I'm reading this book. So I think it's creating those opportunities for people to be able to communicate And having it on a calendar, because if it's on the calendar, it's a meeting, no different than any other meeting, right? If you just don't have it formalized where it's like, oh, call me when you need me, I think it's different, right? So try to incorporate some of these meetings into a calendar so that people know that they'll have an opportunity and we'll have to stop, what we're doing, and we have time together to talk about things that are on our minds.
What I really like of what you do as well is that you have a human piece to it. So your Slack channel, you can post pictures of the baby pictures and stuff because it really gives it a genuine feel that it's okay to be open and be honest on the business side if we also have a humanized side to it. So it's a really, really great idea that you did, and it's open. If I don't want to share my baby pictures, I don't have to, right? And
Exactly.
then that I like that you mentioned these open offices, for example, and your town halls are scheduled and hopefully never moved, because that is really important too, especially when we're so busy and we're so feeling overwhelmed, that we have something that's normal. We have something where we can come and ask that question and feel comfortable doing it. So I think these are all great things. Do you see a difference before you did these types of things to doing these types of things?
Yeah, one thing I'll share that I think makes a lot of difference in business, whether this is applicable to a customer relationship and an employee relationship, is not talking about work. We talk about work a lot. That's inevitable, with clients, with team. I actually, for a business owner, surprisingly, a lot of people don't know what I do for work outside of work.
No, you're more personal.
I just don't talk about it. It's not the first thing I think about when I meet someone. What do? It doesn't really come out for a long time for me. I tend to gravitate towards other topics. And again, this is just me. I'm not saying people need to do this. This is my approach. So what is, I think, important in business when you're a leader, when you have a company, when you're a manager, is really getting to know people on a personal level. That is to say, I will not ask you something about your personal life that is inappropriate or that you don't want to talk about, but I think it's just, hey, what hobbies do you enjoy? Oh, you like reading books. What was the last book you read? Or have you traveled lately? Or do you like going for hikes? Or there's just so many, do you like sports teams? Like, there's so many things that we can talk about that become distractions from our work that might burn us out. So when we're a 3 day in office company, which I immensely value. And just today, I had lunch with my team. We spent 40 minutes together. We sat down, we talked about a lot of things, and maybe 5 minutes of it was work, which is fine. But I tend to want to move the conversation in a different direction, because I want them to just take a mental break from work. So I really think, like, having diversity with what you talk about when you spend time together is important. There are some leaders that I've worked for, and I remember this, and I never liked it. Every time we would get together, even when we went and went to lunch, they only talked about work. It was so unattractive to me for someone to constantly talk about work. I get it, it's important to them, but I also more appreciated the leaders that actually cared about some other things that were more personal.
And I think you'll probably agree with me here, but when I say to leaders I'm coaching, I always say, you got to take a lunch break, 20 to 30 minutes. And I always say, when you take a lunch break, that doesn't mean talking about work. If you go to the lunchroom, there's other people there. We're not talking about work. It should be a space where we can just disconnect for that time, right? I'm sure you agree with me here. I can see you nodding your head. Our audience cannot see that, but it's important, right?
Agreed 100%.
Let's take this as a little bit of a different level. If we are in that scaling organization or that startup, and we talk about communicating with other people, and change is massive in when you're growing fast or you're scaling. I mean, it changes every minute sometimes, depending on what's going on. What are a couple of key strategies that we can do to communicate? So we've talked about, having those meetings set up, but are there any other strategies besides that, town halls and such, that you could potentially use, or even anonymously that people could submit?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say in terms of this is not a tactic, but a way of, I think communication to start, I'll say communication to me is the most or the single most important skill set a person
Agree.
should have
Yeah.
over anything. The ability to communicate in oral and written form is very important in life, right? Business, especially when it comes to the type of work we're doing. I think it's the difference between a good and a bad relationship. And so I think my communication style, and I would not say this is everybody's style. Everybody has a different approach, and I think every individual might need a curated way of being communicated to. Although that's not my preference, I would rather not have to create individual styles for each person. But I think what I will be consistent with, irrespective of what type of person you are, is that I will be very honest, and very direct, and always have good intentions for you. And I want to start with that with people. I want people to know from the beginning, I care a lot about you. If you're on the team, I want you to succeed. My goal is for you to grow and develop, and for you to realize your maximum potential and to learn and get more opportunities. So I want you to know that and understand that. And if you don't, let me explain more. Because I think that's important to set the foundation of trust and understanding. And then everything that happens after the fact, I hope they know that if I tell them this, good or bad, it's because I care about them, right? So I've always appreciated working for people that did not talk behind my back, but instead would tell me things to my face, even when it hurt. And I have, at an early age, been exposed to mentors or leaders where I was intimidated by them. They had a VP title and I was 21, or an EVP or an SVP. They were big personalities at these companies, but I ended up being mentored by them because I was interested and I observed them and I asked them to mentor me and coach me. But I remember a couple times where I was like, they kind of leaned into me and they said things to me that were very direct, that at the time I was like really like shocked. But it really is something that I understood like down the road why they did it and how much it helped me grow and develop, because they were being very honest with me. And I've always felt that my best relationships have been when there's been that level of openness and honesty, right? I rather just tell you directly in a polite way, constructive way. But I think that's my leadership style, is just, if not let things sort of linger. I just, if there's something going on, I want people to know. And it's worked for me. I know in some cases the response from some people is it's not good, right? Because some people are a bit more, it's not their style. But I think over time it allows you to really develop deeper connections with people when you can have that level of openness and transparency.
And I feel that if you already have what you've implemented, where we're very open, we've got open door policies, we've got, conversations and things like that that are also personalized, that if you're coming up with some honest feedback for them, they're probably be more accepting of it than if you didn't have any of that, then they're just going to feel like they're being reprimanded for no reason. And honesty can build trust in a team as well. And so, sometimes, yeah, if you find out that Tara's always like really nervous, then maybe there is an adjustment in your communication style for her. But the honesty does build trust. I truly believe that as well. So we are going to have to start to wrap up here. This has been a great conversation, and I know there's a lot of organizations going through lots of change. There's lots of startups out there, and hopefully lots of growth. If you could leave our audience with that one piece of advice when they're either rapidly growing or scaling, or maybe they're that startup that there's a lot going on, what would you tell our leaders?
So many things come to mind, but maybe one that I'll mention is sometimes being a good leader means you have to make unpopular decisions.
True, very true.
I've never been one to be worried so much about being liked by everyone. Of course, you have to be liked by people if you want to build a company. They have to want to work for you and respect you and admire you. But I think as a leader, there will come times when you will have to make decisions that may be unpopular, but in the best interest of your constituents, right? The people that work for you, your customers, your shareholders. And one person needs to make a decision ultimately. We can seek input from others and we should listen to input. And then we should make a decision and stick with that decision, right? And we should explain if we go in another direction why we made that decision that might have been different than what they had hoped for. So they understand the why. I think not explaining the why leaves people with a bad taste in their mouth. And maybe even after you explain the why, they don't agree with it. But at least you've done that. And ultimately, as the owner, you are the one that is responsible for the company when all is said and done. So I think sometimes good leadership means making tough decisions that may be unpopular, but that you, because you're more experienced and you've been through this before, or because it's the risk that you're taking to make this company successful, you have to do that.
Yeah, I agree with the why. It's something I tell people all the time, like explain the why, because people want to know that. If we don't tell them the why, they don't understand why they do what they do, or like you just said, why that decision was made that maybe wasn't the popular one, right? And I think that's a really key piece that people can take from today. So thank you very much. If our audience wanted to find you online somewhere, connect with you, or learn more about what you do for your business, is there somewhere they can find you?
Yeah, so I'm pretty active on LinkedIn as an author. Borja Kwan is you can find me on LinkedIn, and then also 415 Digital, FOUR15Digital.com. There we have a bunch of information about the company and the services we provide, and bios and things like that.
Excellent. So just so our audience knows how to spell your name if they're looking for you on LinkedIn, it's Borja. Last name is Cuan. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing these awesome tips for scaling organizations and growing, and of course your experiences. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed the conversation.
Of course, we want to thank our audience. We do hope you were able to gain some valuable insights or tips today in our conversation. If you are a leader who knows that leadership development and growth through coaching and consulting are key to your leadership journey, or you'd like to learn more about our Rise Leadership program, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. And before you go, don't forget to grab this quarter's free leadership resource, Your Guide as a New Leader. It is designed to support your new leaders in the first few weeks to build credibility, gain trust, and set a strong foundation for leadership. The link will be in the episode summary. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.